Ezekiel chapter 43, right after Jeremiah, and then Lamentation, and then Ezekiel. Almost the end of the book, 43. It only has, I think, 47 chapters. And there's three parts to Ezekiel that I've focused on. The first one is chapter 1. First one is chapter 1, where it says that this Ezekiel temple and Ezekiel's message is that only the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the hope of Israel. Only those four Gospels. Good news. And so it describes them as living creatures. So Matthew says, holy, 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 or in Hebrew, Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodashim, the Holy of Holies. So those three parts are part of a temple. And you'll find out the temple that was, or the tent that was in the wilderness, always had three parts, the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. It's the same with all temples. As a matter of fact, all Near Eastern cultures have that. All, without exception. And so, whether it's Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, etc., they all have that tripartite division into outer and then holy, and then the Holy of Holies, which means the most holy. Now, God himself dwells in not only tents, tabernacles, but he also dwells in temples, which are permanent. A temple is something permanent. However, bad guys can come and tear it down. So with the tent, it's not hard. You just, you know, pull up the stakes and move on. But with temples, they're made of stone and wood and all kinds of things. And so a temple is where God wants to dwell, and he always has picked out Jerusalem as his location. And he's very clear about that. It has to be exactly where the bad guys live. How many know that the church is in the midst of the world? Or the world, wherever it is, there's a church. And so he doesn't put us in a garden. He puts us in the bad guy territory. And that's so you can be a light to the world. Salt of the earth. Salt makes every offering that you give to God, thank offering, peace offering, whatever kinds of offering it is, and there's dozens of them. If you have salt with it, that's the same thing as faith. If you do everything you do by faith, it's acceptable to God. Any offering that you make, no salt, no acceptance. So God only accepts the salt. And so if there's something missing, it's the salt. If you do it with salt, it's always acceptable. Now, that doesn't make sense unless you see it spiritually. That God wants the Abrahamic covenant that he made with Abraham. Abraham did zip. He did nothing. He was not a good man. He was actually an ungodly man. He actually worshipped in Ur at the moon god temple, which is sin. Now that's what it is in the Bible. That's its name. But he actually worshipped there, and God met him outside his temple and said, how's it going with that sin thing? Are you pleasing the moon god? And I don't know, he didn't have anything to say, and he just kind of shut up. So he said, I want to make a covenant with you, and he gave sevenfold promise to him. That sevenfold promise is the only promise that God made with man that's everlasting. All the other promises might be temporal. They last for a season, so on. But God said these words, I will bless you with everything in heaven, every blessing in heaven, and everything in heaven is a blessing. Everything in heaven that's mine, I give it to you. So that's quite a promise. I'll show you a land that you haven't been to. It's the land of Canaan, Kanaan in Hebrew. And that land was filthy. I mean, just polluted to the gills. It's almost like America today. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What I'm saying today is corruption everywhere. Now, we started out with noble ideals. The Constitution is full of noble ideals. And there's nothing in there that would ever go against the Word of God. Today, it's the opposite. Today, we've degenerated, and that's why there's trouble everywhere, because true religion is no longer characteristic of America. We forget God. Same thing Israel did. Same thing Israel did. Every time God instructed them, they disobeyed. They rebelled. They had enmity against. They didn't want to do it. So that enmity against God is that God wanted Israel to obey his word, do good, avoid evil. Do good, avoid evil. That's the natural law. The natural law. The natural law is Moserati in Hebrew. Moserati. And then the revealed law is aboti, A-B-O-T-H-I, aboti. And these two laws are the immutable laws of heaven. They can't be changed. They can never be altered. They can never be amended. They can never be in any way say anything other than they said already. You can interpret them differently. You can apply them differently. That's sin. But what they say is what they mean. So the law of God is something permanent that can never be changed. In Texas, we adopted those laws. We adopted those laws. Because in America, we adopted those laws. But most of the European nations were Christian. And they adopted those laws. However, their interpretation is not exactly accurate. For example, if God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that should be a permanent rule. And no law should ever go against what God hath said. But today we have the homosexual agenda. We have all kinds of things that violate the laws of God. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Well, that's the new thing we're trying out. We'll try out anything that offends God. And today, you know, it's animal, sleeping with animals. It's all kinds of things. And you don't even know that goes on probably, but it goes on. And people do anything to show their enmity against God because they're ticked off at him because of his law. Because the law says, do good, avoid evil. So anything they can think of, let's just try that. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that America is subject to judgment? Mishpat in Hebrew, or mishpatim, plural. So we're not righteous any longer as a nation, and we don't even pretend to be. As a matter of fact, the government now has secrets you don't even know about. They do all kinds of things through the CIA, the FBI, and so on and so forth, nor do they feel they should fess up. And so they just defend what they do because secret things now, it isn't any longer your nation. It was a nation of the people, for the people, by the people. That's no longer. It's just whatever the judge thinks, or they write their own laws and so on. So everything that the founders set up has been now overthrown And America is subject to, I'll surprise you here, but subject to destruction. However, it's not going to come because of us. Did you know that the whole world exists for us? And when he's through with us, then, you know, the world can perish. But he's not. He's not through with us because those documents, those words on a page are still there. And though they've been misinterpreted, though they've been given the opposite meaning, it doesn't matter. God remembers them, and they're his word, and so they still hold out. England also was a Christian nation. And so were, you know, France and so on and so forth, but they violated all the time so that people could do their own things and sin and get away with it. So Machiavelli, way back in the 16th century, who was contemporary with Luther, he published in the year that Luther got converted and became now a person of faith, became a person that believed in the Word of God as the only authority, and upset the Roman Catholic Church forever. That's funny. And so since they did that, Luther said, no, unless I'm convinced in my conscience, unless you take every doctrine you have and make it come and pass muster before the Word of God, I won't accept it. I'm not going to do it. And I'm a doctor of the church. I'm not just an ordinary monk. I'm simply someone that no longer believes in a lot of the things you say, including indulgences and all other things. So he said, if God was merciful, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to buy an indulgence to get it. How many know everything in the Bible is free? Especially, that good news that's in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's good news. It's all good news. It's the interpretation. You have to read the text. You have to read the original intent by God. What did God originally mean when he created us? Let us make man. Let us make man in our image. Betzelemnu, in our image. Kedamutnu, according to their capacity to be like us. So, you'll be stewards of God. You'll be stewards of the mysteries of God. And so, God wanted everyone to answer to him. He wanted every one of us, every decision you make, every deed you do, should be based upon the Word of God. So, he just put it that way and then said, the only thing that's between us every individual and God, the only thing is Jesus. I'll put him in the middle. And that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus, go down and show them that what they're doing is wrong. And instead of killing them, I want you to die for their sake. It's like, Jesus said, well, I'll be among relatives? Yeah. Yeah. You'll be among the Jewish people. Eigebalt. You know, what am I going to do? And so he said, you know, don't worry, there'll be relatives. Yeah. So everything is relative. How many knows everything is relative, you know? So anyway, Jesus came down and he knew from the start, I've only come to suffer and die for the good of mankind so that man can be happy. Let's restore the faith religion that Abraham, and let's destroy the yoke of bondage that the Jews are under following the laws of Moses. So the only problem with the Jewish people is they're still following those laws. And an Orthodox Jew will say to another Orthodox Jew, are you keeping Torah? Are you? And then the other one will answer like this, well, not exactly, but at least I tried. At least I tried. How many know that's not in the Bible? The Ten Commandments are not try, they're do and avoid. And so the problem is today in the world, you don't know how close you are but we're very close to the end of history, time. We're very close to Jesus coming back again. Could come in your lifetime. It's possible. And so Jesus wants to have his hot church, zestos in the Greek. The hot church is the one that's passionate about Jesus, as Danny was speaking this morning. The hot church is where there isn't anything else but Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of God, the anointed one, the one that's appointed by God and anointed to do what God has sent him to do. And so he is a different priest than the Aaronic priesthood under the law. He's a priest under the gospel, under grace. So since he's under grace, you have to pay attention to what that grace allows you to do. It pardons you through the mercy of God. So you see his holiness through his mercy, modified by his mercy, which brings you a just judgment. Mishpat tzadik. Mishpat tzadik, which is the same thing as mesharim, the equity of God by which God will judge the whole world. Equal to the fact that God originally created mankind to always answer to him for every decision they made, for every choice they made, for every act they did. They have to answer to him. I mean, it has to be immaculate. You have to say, and one sin, just one sin, is enough that you can't go to heaven. One sin. Isn't that amazing? You cannot go to heaven if you have just one sin and you did it at any time during your lifetime. How many know that little children do that by the time they're two? They already know it, and they know they did it. They know they did that. They know that they violated their conscience, because the conscience is immutable. It's immutable. When God wrote upon their heart, when he wrote upon their heart, this one belongs to me, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine, then all of us have to answer to God that created us. On the back wall is written Bereshit, the first word of the Hebrew Bible, very first word. The beginning over here, because they read from right to left. And so the Beh right there, the first letter is in. And then the next word is Rosh, and the next word is Eat on the end. The two, the little dot, and then that funny thing. So in the very beginning, in the very beginning of what? In the very beginning, before there was anything. Did you know that in the Bible, that you have all spiritual blessings given to you? Did you know that? How many know that? All spiritual blessings are yours. All. They're all yours. And that was before there was an earth, before there was a world, before men inhabited the earth. He already made that promise. That promise was given before there was anything. You weren't even in God's thought. Yes, you were. He already thought of you. He already designed everything to bless you. Everything in heaven is yours. Everything, 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 everything. Nothing is missing. Now, how much are you enjoying those blessings? How many of you are enjoying those blessings? Yay! Yahoo! Awesome. I am. How many of you are enjoying the blessings of God? Because you believe it by faith. You don't see it. You don't see it. Everything in the Bible is not seen. Everything in the Bible is not seen. I don't care what you think. Everything in the Bible is telling you about a world you've never been to. What's in heaven is not what's on earth. That earth that you see, Jerusalem, for example, you can see that, but it'll perish. It will not last forever. It's temporal. So you can see it, but there's no eternal life in that. There's only eternal life in the things you can't see. And so God has invented everything, created everything for your pleasure, for your happiness here, for your safety here, for your, you know, it just, these are blessings you can enjoy. And I do. That's personal testimony. I do. I'm enjoying all the blessings. Have you seen anything? Nope. I don't even want to see them. I'm not even interested in seeing them. I'm just busy doing what he wants me to do, enjoying my blessings. Because all the burden's on Jesus and all the blessing's mine. I like that arrangement. That's kind of a good exchange. I sowed, you reap what I sowed, and I'll reap what you sowed. I said, that's a good deal. That's better than Aladdin's lamp. I mean, that's good. That's a very good one. And so I like our God, and God likes me. Did you know that we love because he first loved us? So any love that comes forth is from God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, 9 fruits of the Spirit, that's just Jesus. That's not on earth. Jesus, you don't have that unless Jesus is in you. If he's in you by faith, not by sight, but in you by faith, not by sight, then you'll be blessed in this world as well as the next. I'm already blessed because he said it, and I just believe what he said. I don't believe what I interpret. I don't believe what I feel, what I think, what I want. I don't trust my brain. I don't trust my emotions. I don't trust anything in this world, especially my will. So anything I do, I put some salt with it, and it's okay. I just put some salt with it because salt makes that acceptable to God. That's the faith I have. I have faith, sola fide in Latin. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. Solus, Christus, only Christ. Sola gratia, only grace. So since that's true, soli Deo gloria, to God be all the glory. To God be the glory. Did you know that everything you do glorifies God? You spoke about glory. I think David did. He spoke about glory this morning. Someone did. And that glory is what this chapter is all about. 43. I want all about that. And so God wants you to have heaven on earth. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Can't do this in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. You have to do that on earth. So that's his church. His church, the true church, the real church, not lukewarm. The real church has heaven on earth. Isn't that exciting? Are you part of that church? Could I see your hands? You're part of that church. Yeah. By faith. You don't have to see it. You don't have to see it. You don't have to see it. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to Thomas, who wasn't there the first week, wasn't there. Now, you've put your finger in my wounded hands, and you've stuck in my side right there. Stick it right there. Okay. Now that you've seen, I want you to know something. It's not those who see believe. It's those who believe see. Blessed, happy, makarioi are those who, having not seen, yet believe. Oh, that's a miracle. If that would happen, if you believed in something you can't prove, you've never been to heaven. Nobody's ever been there. You can't even see Jesus today. He's not here. Yet he is. He's here. Here, wherever. It's right down here in the bowels. It's the bowels of mercy. How many have bowels? You have bowels. That's when you see something that you haven't seen before. That's someone that you knew years ago, but they did you in. The bowels, see, I hate that person. You know, that hatred just comes in, that bowels. And God has that. God has that for the bad guys. But then you also see someone you haven't seen for years and you love that person. I haven't seen you for years. It's like powerful. And your bowels, there's just kind of something in there. This love just pours out. Do you understand what I'm saying? And since Peggy and I didn't have we had a rocky kind of marriage kind of thing. Because I was naughty, she was nice. And I liked being naughty, and I enjoyed being naughty, and I did it deliberately, consciously, knowingly, anyway. And one time I went to Israel, and I was gone so long that when I came back, love just sprung into her, you know. That was the last time, by the way. That love just was right there. And then I probably said something wrong or did something wrong or something or other. I was angry, yeah, because she wasn't there on time or whatever at the airport. Because I'm just myself. I've always been myself. I've never been anyone else. And so I'm just me. Because God said in the Bible, be you. Just be whatever you are. Be you. I love ungodly people. That was me. I was a good ungodly person. I mean, awesome. Just awesome. I was very good at lying, cheating, stealing, a con artist. I mean, I was good at that. And I was just... I loved it. It was a joy to me. That's called psychopath. I don't know if you know what that is. I mean, I could tell you, I could illustrate that, but need not bother. But now I'm in love with Jesus because something happened to me along the way, and even though I was a pastor and didn't believe in Jesus, even though I was a pastor and didn't believe in all in Jesus. I intellectually thought, yeah, that makes sense to me. God's for you. Sounds like a good deal. And so I became a pastor, but there's nothing from the heart. My heart was not in love with Jesus. It wasn't personal. It wasn't personal at all. It's just kind of a concept, an idea. But then one day I fell in love with him. And it was dramatic. I remember exactly where I was standing, where I was, you know, I was actually doing wrong in that moment. Anyway, in that moment, I knew that there was a God. I mean, it was like an experience. It wasn't just Bible. It was the Bible coming alive to me personally. And I knew there was a God, and I never knew that. And I knew that his son was Jesus, and I never knew that. But all of a sudden, I began to confess my sins. And I realized I'm a Christian. I'll never doubt this, ever, to the death. This is to the death, death of Jim, alive to God. That's it. Happened to me. It didn't happen to everybody, but it happened to me. Because I was intellect, and I didn't worship my intellect, but I thought I was pretty clever. Because if you're a liar, you know how to lie in such a way you don't get caught the next time you lie. By remembering the first time you lied. So I could remember I was so treacherous and so tricky that I remembered everything that I said and so on. I have a photographic kind of memory and so on and so forth. And I did well in school because I cheated, and I was good at it. I had a lot of ways to cheat, lie, steal. And I was just afraid of getting caught. I didn't want to get caught. How many know that when you do bad things, you don't want to get caught? Because then you lose your freedom. And the one thing I loved is freedom. I just love freedom. My parents had no clue as to how I grew up. Because I was always nice at home. And I always did all my bad things away from home. Especially when it's dark. Because people can't see you and God can't see in the dark. And so... I did things that were not good. But I enjoyed them. I liked them. I liked sin. How many know that you like sin? How many are aware of that? That there's something in you that likes sin. It's called sin. That's the flesh. The flesh likes sin, and I enjoyed it. So it didn't bother me at all because I, you know, had no values. I had nothing I believed in. I just believed in myself being God. That's about it. What I just said is embarrassing. All I did was believe that I was God, and I didn't give a rip for God. Didn't care for him, didn't like him, didn't want to serve him, because all the people that I knew that were Christians were hypocrites. I mean, I knew the Catholics were, but also... found out some of the Jews were, and then I also found out some of the Protestants were. And so, you know, I ain't going to that. I'm not going to go for God. And yet I ended up becoming a minister. It's really weird. Because they have a great deal. As a minister, you're not paid much, so you don't make a lot of money. However, it's an easy job. 1 hour on Sunday morning you have to perform, and that's it. And you get paid for the whole year. It's like, I'll be a minister. Man, that is, that I can, you know, play golf all week, and I can do tennis. I can do anything I want to do. Just, you know, not worry about that. Don't worry about that. And so, but once Jesus gets a hold of you, he don't let go. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so he can ruin your life forever. And he did mine, and I knew that. And I knew once I go down that direction, there ain't no coming back. This to the death. I knew that. I read that in the Bible. I read that in the Bible. I didn't need a rhema. I just read it. And so I realized this is to the death. There'll be no more Jim. I won't be a person. I won't be me. Me is going to die. And I didn't know how that thing worked out, but I knew that's it. That's the price you pay. So how many know that it doesn't bother me when people don't like me, hate me, despise me, abuse me, misuse me, rape me? I don't care. I don't care. Jesus loves me. This I know. That's my whole thing. Jesus loves me. So I don't really care because the Bible tells me so. That's it. That I'd be a good Baptist if I was doing that. You know, just whatever the word says, that's it. And you can do it by faith. You can't do it by feeling or by understanding or by wanting. You just do it by faith. So everything that I do is totally by faith. And I don't even want any rhemas. I don't even want any miracles and signs and wonders. But I get them all the time. But I don't want them. I don't put any weight on them. I don't invest in them at all. Because I believe someday I'll see them. And someday when I see them with my own eyes on the earth and in heaven, I'll see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is. It's a big word. Is. I mean, Clinton had trouble with that, but I don't have any problem with that. Is means is. Means real. But he wanted to justify his sin and keep going. I've had dreams about Clinton, and I meet him in my dreams. That's a miracle. And I do that. I liked him. I liked him right away because he's just like me. And his wife is, you know, just like me too because she's from Chicago. That's mafia. My whole family is mafia. You all know that. And so I love that. I mean, they just, when you say to a mafia person, I'm going to kill this person, you're going to die trying, or you're going to try, or you're going to kill him. Not in Texas. Texas, they're just drunk. So they say that. I'll kill you. But they're just drunk. Because that's the kind of the way it is here. You're fake. You're phony. But in Chicago, I'll kill you. You're going to kill him. That's it. And my family was like that. All my uncles, all my grandfathers, they were federal pen. Everybody in my family was criminal. Bad. And I envied them. I wanted to be like them. I just couldn't figure out, will it be blue collar or white collar? That's a good one. I think I'll be white collar. Let somebody else do the dirty work. Very clever of me to think about that. So you can do that, but it's scandalous if you get caught. But the white collar tend to get away with murder. They just hire Harvard professors and Harvard lawyers. And they can get away with anything they want. So I thought, that's what I want. And that's why I went to Yale. I had a Harvard scholarship, Yale scholarship, Aberdeen, Scotland scholarship, Heidelberg, Germany scholarship, New York scholarship. I had scholarships to the best of schools. I could go anywhere I wanted because I lied, cheated, and stole. But one day, God got a hold of me, and that was it. Finished. I was finished. How many have come to the end of yourself? Self. Your being. You. This needs to die so that sin doesn't operate anymore. You despise and hate yourself. I mean, you know, God, what I've done deserves hell. That fits me. That's me. I did that. But if you could forgive me because of your word, I'm taking it. So I read the word that he likes sinners. He actually likes sinners, and especially sinners that repent by saying, if you believe that God could forgive the ungodly, then you have faith. And I believe that. I totally believe that. Romans 4, verse 5. And I believe that. And so if you actually believe that God loves sinners, and that's all, because that's all he has. I don't know if you know that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you all know that? You either like that or you know someone that's like that, that you're married to. And so you don't really have the sense of humor that I was expecting you would have on that. But the point is, you have to be a sinner to qualify. You're pre-qualified if you're a sinner. You have to be ungodly. You have to be someone that hates and despises and rebels against and is at enmity with God. He's not bothered by that. For some reason, God's not bothered by that. Jesus, I want you to go down. I'm going to send you down there because you always want to please me. This is what I want you to do. I want you to become a man and let them kill you. Jesus said, yeah, done, finished. I will do it. And so Jesus came down, did what he did, then was over. It was over. And Jesus was totally satisfied. He knew that everything he did, he sat on the cross and he said like this, Father, forgive them, the Jewish people. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm their Savior. I'm their only hope. But, you know, they have enmity. And so I accept it. And so Jesus was not worried about doing the right thing or wrong thing. He knew everything he did was already preordained by God in his mission. This was not a son of God in heaven. This was son of man on earth. And he knew that whatever I do, God is going to make it all work out. He had faith in God. He had faith in God. And now you have his faith. You have his faith. Your faith is built on his faith. And he called you his beloved. And so God's love changes everything. So this Ezekiel temple is probably, and I can't say for sure, and I have reasons for not saying or whatever, but I think it's probably the temple that's not on earth today. You can't see it. But it's a heavenly temple that's where Jesus and his bride upstairs, who now becomes his wife, so you're the queen of heaven. This is the real queen of heaven, a righteous queen, because he's a righteous man. And if you have any sin, you can't get in. You're excluded. But none of us have sins, right? Because Jesus died for me. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. How many like that? That's good news. He loves you exactly as you are. I don't care what your situation. He doesn't care about that. Male, female, young, old, black, white. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care how smart you are, how dumb you are. He doesn't care anything. He just said, Jesus, go down and die for everybody. I mean, everybody. You mean everybody? Everybody. Even the wicked. Because that's all we have. So go ahead and do it. That's all we have. And so God loves us. And isn't that amazing? I mean, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that could save a wretch like me. How many think of yourselves as a wretch? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because I know some of you would be foolish enough to raise your hand. Everyone is a wretch in God's sight, coram Deo, before God, in the sight of God. So we live human lives. Everybody here is for pleasure. I want pleasure in my life. And instead I get pain. How many know that? You're supposed to have pleasure and avoid pain. That's called hedonism. So now you're a hedonist. All you want is pleasure, physical pleasure, emotional pleasure, mental pleasure. You know, people live this life, and if you lie, if you say, I don't want pleasure, I want Jesus to be my only joy, you're lying. You're lying. You're lying. You're lying. Everybody is built that. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. Your flesh wants pleasure and avoid pain. And what you end up? Pain. Everyone who wants pleasure gets pain. I'm going to say it again. Everyone wants pleasure is going to end up with pain. It's kind of like funny. Because you're looking for something and then you can't get it. Or let's say you're a Christian. Let's say you're Jewish. Do right, don't do wrong. Let's say you're a natural person. Do right, don't wrong. Follow your conscience. Don't violate your conscience. Whatever you intend to do that's good will never work. And so whatever you were to avoid, you cannot not do what you want to avoid. Well, I don't want to sin anymore. You're going to do it. Well, I want to do good. You're not going to do it. How many know you're a walking contradiction? That everything you want to do, you don't. And everything you don't want to do, you do. Well, that's in the Bible. But anyway, so everything is rigged in such a way that you only have one option left. One is the mercy of God. That all your sins are there on that cross. Not that cross, but a cross like that. A human tree. A human tree of life. That's the human tree of life right there. That's the tree of life. Had to die before he could give you eternal life. You have to die, but that's not just Jesus dying. That's Jesus dying for your sins. So your sins are forgiven. Now he's changing you, cleansing you from day to day. Your sins are forgiven, but they're still on you. Now he's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, so you don't have any unrighteousness. You can say these words, I'm perfect. I'm innocent. There's not a spot on me. I'm a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. So you have no blemishes on you because you're innocent like a lamb. And that's why Jesus came. The way I was, that's the way I want you to be. And so he died to purchase that for you. When he died, you died. So now your old man is dead, and now the new man comes forth, right? Only it doesn't exactly work that way. It's just the theory. The theory is that when you're a Christian, you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and mind and so on and so forth. But and then love the neighbor as yourself. The Jews, they goofed up on that. They didn't do that. They didn't do that well. Because they didn't meet the law with the faith of Abraham, the salt. They didn't meet, they tried to do the law. But trying is not what God has ever said. He's the standard. Be holy as I'm holy. Be righteous as I'm righteous. Be ye perfect as I'm perfect. Well, that's a high standard. How many know it's high to be exactly like God unless you do it by faith? Unless you do it by faith. So by faith you could say it. So everyone here is perfect by what Jesus did. Now, you're not perfect behavior. You don't have perfect behavior. Nobody here has perfect behavior, except pastors. Nobody here has that. So, but Danny, you have it. I have it. You're all right. So, no, it's not talking about behavior. Jesus' behavior is mine because he gives me the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then kills my old man. I'm in chair 4. I have faith in Jesus, but in chair 5, he kills me so that I can be in chair 6. I can't love others if I still love myself, so he has to kill that in 5. So he kills your old man every single day. Every single day, God shows me another sin, another sin, another sin. Every day. And Piggy had a dream the other night. I'm not going to say it. But what this dream is, she was praying these prayer, and she said, God, show me my sin, my wickedness. And God did. And then she shared that. And I was so pleased with that, that She got to see her wickedness. And then immediately God said, and you, Jim, don't work on me. We're just working on Peggy. You have to die for her to live. What? Like what? What do you mean? You have to die. I mean die. Yuck. What plan B? Is there an alternative? No? You have to die. So the next day, I think it was 2 days later. 2 days later, God showed me that I realized that Peggy is worth it. You die so that she may live. You die. And he showed me something that was shocking to me. It cut the heart. It cut your heart. I mean, you knew this was not just a sin. This was the sin. And I realized it was all my fault. Not just that it was all my fault, but I deliberately, consciously buried that. I didn't know about it. And then he showed it to me. This is what you did. It's evil. And there's no forgiveness. Nothing could help, because I said, Peggy, I'm going to confess my sin. I confessed it. And I said, will you forgive me? Yes. And so then I knew, don't stick around, because she might retract that. Because it'll sink in on her. And it sure enough, it did. The next day she went, you know what you shared yet? You know, she's like going to spell out all the nasty things that I did and resentment that she had and so on and so forth. How many know that that's part of normal marriage? I'm going to say that again because I think I skipped a few of you. How many know it's normal marriage that the person you marry is, you can resent them after a while? Okay, I'll say that again because you probably didn't. Okay, everybody here resents the person that you say you love, but you actually resent because they did something, because they have a will and you have a will, and sometimes your will and their will is not the same, right? Because I wanted to row the boat this way and Peggy's rowing the boat this way. So it's like, Peggy, we're not getting anywhere. And I think it's you that you're not rowing the way I'm rowing. She never wanted to row the way I was rowing. That was great. Isn't it great to be, and isn't it great to love people that don't love you back? Is that not great? Is that not right? But you do it because it's just by faith. You do it by faith. And so I'm totally happy because I do it by faith. And say, well, I love you. Well, I don't care if you love you. Do you really love me? That's nasty. But being a good Christian, I forgave her. How many know that people hate me, despise me, use me, abuse me? I don't care. I love you, and I think you're very intelligent to come up with that conclusion that I'm no good. I think that's intelligent. It's very intelligent. So she's always right about what she says. But the problem is, you got to see your own sin. I can't sleep for you. I can't eat for you. You got to eat for yourself, sleep for yourself. You got to do things just between you and God. You have to know that yourself so that your heart is just like mine. Totally dead to this world, totally alive to God. How many know that that's by faith? That's not by sight. That's not by sight. That's by faith. Why does Jesus do that? He saves the best to the last. When he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you purify yourself as he is pure when you hope in that hope. Until you see him, then you are him. Because you don't need faith anymore. You don't need hope anymore. You just have love. And when he comes back, we'll all be lovers. Everyone. You'll actually love Jesus with all your heart, soul, strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and you'll feel it, and you know it, and you understand it, and you do it. But that's not now. How many know that's not now? The reason for that is he wants to stay you humble rather than proud. Because if you ever did what you think you should do or could do, you might be proud of that. How many know you still have pride? And anger. And lust. And fear. And envy. And doubt. And self-pity. How many know you have all those every day? every day. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you glad you came today? Yes. Praise God. I love to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? So if you know the truth that people are not worth it, how many know people are not worth it? But God says they are. So God trumps my conclusion. He says, no. I want you to love Peggy just as I loved you. I want the same love toward Peggy. Don't even love me. Love Peggy. Love her. That's the end of the law. The end of the law is love your neighbor as yourself, and she's my neighbor. She's the first one that I loved because I read that in the Bible. It says, as Christ loved the church, shall every man love his wife. Isn't that amazing? Wow, that'll ruin your whole day. And what God wants is for you to, I want you to do exactly what I say. So isn't that true, Colleen, in your life? It is true. You love your son right there and his friend right there. And because you have love in you. And you have the love of God, but it's by faith. It's just always by faith. So, Danny, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength. You know, blah, 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 blah. But the point is, I do. But the point is, I can't prove it. But when I see him someday, then you'll see it. How can you believe in a religion that you can't see? That you can't prove? There's no way to prove it. There's nothing you can do by appealing to your mind, to your emotions, to your will. The equipment that God gave you, that will never go to heaven. Your mind, your will, your emotions will never go to heaven unless he cleanses them from flesh. Now, if he's doing that, that's powerful because now you actually do. You can see it. You actually do. But God will have to do that. It would be God's love, God's joy, God's peace, God's patience, God's kindness, and so on and so forth. It would have to be God that did that. Ezekiel Temple is for those people. And when we go to heaven and are in the Ezekiel's temple, this one, then you understand God. Only God, which way is east? Okay, so this is east. So you entered the temple through the eastern gate. Who goes through the eastern gate? In this temple, in the Ezekiel temple. Who goes through the eastern gate? God, not the priest, not the temp, not the prince, not the prince, not the priest, only God. And every door is closed, north and south. The west is the Mediterranean Sea. So if you stood in Israel today, the temple, which is exactly the city of David, which is exactly where Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, Yitzhak. And therefore, that temple is exactly like the Solomon's temple. It's exactly like it, only it's bigger, much bigger. Because did you know that there's going to be an innumerable host in heaven and we'll be part of that? Did you know that? And you're part of it because it's his bride. It's his beloved. It's those that had faith and now with sight, they actually see him as he is. And now they have everything in heavenly places, literal, in this world, before time ends. And then in heaven, there is no temple. There is no tent, a tabernacle. There's only God. And he is our temple, and he is our, you know, we on him and him in us. We're kind of married forever and ever and ever. So that's powerful. So this one is before that one. This one is a temple, and the Jewish temple is on the earth, and they're actually sacrificing animals again. Did you know that's in the Bible? Okay, it's in the Bible. And they're actually going to do exactly what God said when he created the world, when he wanted them to do what he wanted them to do, and they didn't do it. But he always wanted them to make the sacrifice exactly as he said in the Bible. But they didn't do it. They rebelled against him. And no matter how much he tried to get them to change and do good and stop doing evil, they always did evil and stopped doing good. And no matter how much you didn't like pain, you got the pain instead of the pleasure. Because you're a walking contradiction. How many know you're a walking contradiction? You walk around and you have these contradictions in yourself. And every teenager learns that. As soon as they become teens, they break away from the home and they do things that they weren't supposed to do. And but they don't know which side is them. And they haven't chosen yet because they're teenagers. But by the time that they stop that, they're already adults. And then they're formed. And then we get them here in the church. I love them. I love that. It's great. We want all the debris. All the people that are crazy. And we've got them. You just look on your row. They're right there. I'm excluding you. So everybody that you're married to is a sinner like you were. How many know sinners only marry sinners? I mean, that's a, I don't know, it's a kind of like a law. And so, and we can't stand sin. How many know we can't stand it? When other people sin, it bothers us. When we sin, we have a story. But when they sin, we don't, you know, how could you do that? And you'll just turn around and do it. Because you're a contradiction to yourself. So you cannot ever in this world do anything. You can't do anything good, and you can't do anything but bad, and you keep doing it, and you don't have any power to stop the one and do the other. So that's the bondage of the will. Your will always will one thing, sin. So even though you want to do right, you won't. Even though you don't want to do bad, you will. So that contradiction you have to deal with when you're a teenager. That's why it's powerful. David, you know, works with the teenagers here, and it's really powerful because what he's been able to share is powerful for their lives. I know those boys and girls that are there are learning a lot, and it changes their life forever. You got to have the difference between faith and love. Love is not what you think it is. Your faith is not in... faith isn't active in love. I know it says in the Bible, faith is active in love. No. Faith is believing in Jesus who is active in love. Did you see what I just said? So faith is acting in him who is active in love. You don't have faith in love. Love is not the fruit of faith. Faith doesn't do anything except you have faith in Jesus doing everything on your behalf, in your stead. For that you benefit. And so your faith is in Jesus, not in love. So it's not active in love. Your faith is not active in anything. It's passive because it's passive toward Jesus who is active in love. So the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of that is part of the fruit, and that fruit is not the same thing as faith. Faith is in him, but fruit is for others. You don't eat the fruit. How many know that the tree does not eat the apples? The tree does not, you know, kind of swallow them up. And it isn't for you. It's not for you. The love that you have for others is completely a gift of God. Separate from the faith you have in Jesus as Savior, now you have God killing off your old man so that you can have love for your neighbor, and Jesus does all that. To God be the glory. How many know God wants to be glorified, and that's what glorifies him, really. When you do that last thing, he knows you're a Christian. You're a Christian. If you can love your neighbor as yourself the same way you wish to be loved, if you can love your neighbor like that, you've been transformed by God. How many know it's hard to forgive people that do you in? It's hard to forgive people that, you know, offend you. It's hard to forgive people that say something and do something that you don't want them to say and do. To forgive somebody is big. It's huge. Just as God forgives you, so forgive one another. Talking there about the church, but it's also talking about anybody. You have to forgive Al-Qaeda. You have to forgive the homosexuals. You have to forgive anybody that's offending you. Wow, the world would be a better place if God could get rid of them. Well, he tried that once in the flood. What was the next thing they did? Build the Tower of Babel. The next story is after the flood, he got drunk in the tent and his son, you know, blah, blah, and so on and so forth. It didn't work out the way he thought. I'll get rid of all the bad people and only save Noah and his sons and their wives. So just the eight of them. But that didn't do any good because people still can't do good without Jesus Christ. So this is for people that after you sin, you get the mercy. The holiness of God would condemn you, but after you sin, you're going to get the mercy. The mercy always modifies the sin, mitigates the sin, lessens the harshness of God. Otherwise, we'd all be dead. Wages of sin is death. So there you sin, you die. So that law has been overcome by Romans 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because for the Spirit of life, 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 l'chaim. You know, that's in the Fiddler. That's good. He had trouble staying on that roof. Woo. I had trouble like that. I tell you what, you can just come and kill yourself. And so I'm alive today. Peggy saw me fall off the roof. She knows he's dead. Because they had blood all over the place and so on and so forth. Wasn't my time? I do? Praise God. That's a permanent job. I love it. And I've asked God for that. Yeah, keep giving me jobs. Because I know if you give me a job, you're going to see it through. And so what more can I conquer? You know, what more can I do to serve you? How many know if you don't have a job from God, you're not alive? You have to have a purpose. You have to have a reason why you live. Live for Jesus. If you live for Jesus, you'll kill off your old man so that you can love your neighbor. Then you've finished. That's it. Wisdom is actually seeing everything from God's point of view. The Bible is not about you. I know you think you're in there. The Bible is not about you. It's about God. Jesus came to share God's love for him toward you. And that fruit that came forth, I don't know. It's amazing. It saved me. And I had no hope whatsoever, and I didn't even want it. I had no hope whatsoever of ever being in love with my wife, with my parents, with my enemies, and so on. I had no hope of that because I had no feelings at all for anybody, nobody. I only took care of myself, fully on everyone else. That's the mafia. The mafia only cares for themselves, their family, their whatever, and they also kill off their own family because they just want power, greed, lust. But God has eliminated that, and we're the hope of true religion. There's no true religion without us. Can you say amen? There's no true religion on earth without us. But what is it? Faith. Sola fide. Just faith alone. Faith alone, not with all that other stuff. Not with all those other stuff. None of it. The visible church is a false church. Anything visible is not God. Anything invisible is God. So everything in the Bible is about an invisible world that God loves you and that God wants you to manifest him in everything you say and do and are. Wow, that's powerful. Who'd like to make a testimony today? Pastor, everything you're saying is me. Jeff.
I'll just share. I was really impacted. Thank you for sharing about Peggy's dream. This morning I was thinking, at A&M, there's on the main student building, there's a verse that says, greater love hath no man than
Yeah. That's why it has to be imperfect in this world. You're not going to be perfect to sight. You're not going to be imperfect. You have to be imperfect, and you have to accept people that are imperfect, because you live in a world full of imperfect people, and you have to love them as they are, not as you want them to be, ought to be, should be. They are what they are. You have to love them like that. That is killing us. That will kill you. To love people as they are, imperfect, not yet perfected. That's the way is love. Love says, no, I love this person just the way they are. I don't want them to change.
One more thing that I wanted to share too that just really spoke to me this week. There was a book that I read many years ago by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand. And the thing that really spoke to me this week is, I think it's real powerful, Pastor Jim's message on the chairs, because wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus, you're sitting. And there's a verse that says, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And we are always receiving. We're always receivers. You know, whether if we're walking, because he talks about, you know, us walking in love, and he goes to Ephesians, but we are always seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, so if there's anything that comes out in a walk, in our faith, in our sharing, it's a receiving that we get, just a vessel, you know, where somebody that was sitting and received and heard and was impacted, and we can share and testify, but it's from a position that's God's love and comes through us. Seated, whether it's disciple of love, bridal love, it's from a seated position. God knows something that we've done, it's from Him. So
amen.
Really spoke to this.
It's powerful.
I think it's powerful that the vision that the Lord gave Pastor Jim is chairs and receiving all of us.
It's powerful. Passive. Everything we do is passive. Everything we do is passive. That's why He's active. He, by the way, God is the only action person in the universe. Only God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're the only ones that have life in themselves. We don't. Ours is derivative. Ours is deriving from the fact that I'm married to someone. So since you're a derivative of Jesus, you're not Jesus. You're a derivative of Jesus. Derivatives count, though, in God's sight. And He counts our derivativeness, that we derive everything. Our constitution is supposed to be supreme. Supposed to be. It's not. It's supposed to be supreme. But then all lower law is to pass muster before the higher law, especially the higher laws that are acknowledged by the high law. There's even laws higher, nature and nature's God. Those laws is what government's all about. But only America even experimented with that idea. And it failed. It has failed. We haven't been light. People hate us, despise us. And Christians are the hunted now. And don't say, I wish that would go away. It's not going to go away. You're not going to have a better America. You need to realize only God can supply everything. Worship God, He'll give you everything else. Worship God, just say it with your words. Don't feel it. Don't be sincere. Don't be, you know, I'm wonderful to say. Don't do that. Just say it. Don't feel anything. Don't say anything. Be a psychopath. What I'm saying is, this is not a feeling thing. This is not a psychological thing. This has nothing to do with your psyche. It has to do with the death of your psyche so that you can be spiritual persons, not flesh persons behaving. Behavioral modification is the whole key to modern education. They just want people to behave. They don't care about substance. Okay, so what? You have God's word. Don't worry about what men do. This church, this particular church, is for Christians. And it's for Christians to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. Image is 4, 5 and 6 is likeness. But He has to kill you in order to resurrect you. So you're born to die, 4, 5, to resurrect. So we know Him according to the power of His resurrection. How does that come out? Don't be sincere. Don't sound like a Christian. Just say it. leave it flat, because your experience is that only Jesus can do it. You can't do it. You're not able to do it. But you can do this. Say it. You can do that. Just say it. But don't convince anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can do that.
So
Walter.
When we get to number 6.
I'm sorry?
So when we get to number 6.
Yes.
Kind of like the end then of our life, ready for heaven?
Yes. It is.
So
and that's when he comes back.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
We're still at 4 and 5?
Yes.
So when I get to 6, I know I'm ready for death.
Totally. And right. No. Accurate. Accurate, because 6 is 7. I don't have 7 up there, but it is. You are the bride. When that happens, 6 is the ultimate goal. When you have that, you get the 7 and 8 and so on. But that is that right now, men have to see your good works in order to glorify you on earth. So when men see your good works, they will glorify your Father in heaven, because they'll know he's the Son of God. She's the Son of God. Son. We're children. The word is really children. You are a child of God, meaning we're all children of God. And when you say it every day when you wake up, if you say these words, I am beloved of God, I am a child of God, it'll change your life. You have to say that. And I say that to Peggy every single day. I don't care how she behaves. I don't care what she says. I love her. I'll never leave her or forsake her. I have to say, Peggy, you are the best thing that ever happened to me on earth. You are my beloved, and I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and I love you as my first neighbor. She is the neighbor. If you don't love Christ as a husband, if you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, you're not a Christian. That's okay. It's a sin. It's forgivable. But you have to confess that. Lord, I did not love my wife today as I ought to have loved. As a child, I did not honor my parents, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so you just say that, and it works with God. He just doesn't want you to be sincere about it. Just say it. Just say it.
Well, I need a rhema.
You don't need a rhema. You don't need an experience. You just need to say the words. There's power in the Word of God. The Word of God was created by power. That power is in the Bible words. Those words are not earth words. Those are heavenly words to instruct you. Torah doesn't mean just 10 commandments. Torah means any instruction that he gives, whether it's faith in Abraham or whether it's Moses writing the laws and so on. That's superficial. The main thing is that instruction or that teaching or that wisdom that you get from that will change the world. Start with yourself. Start with yourself. Don't start with your wife. Don't start with anyone else. Start with yourself. You need to die first. Everyone is worth your death. Everyone that you meet is worth your death. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, even though they're no good, love them anyway as though they were. That's how you do it. That you can overcome any. You start to pray for people, they will actually transform before your eyes, and you don't know why, but your prayer. Your prayer is powerful. That's why we pray for the nations. God hears those prayers. God's in charge of everything. Nothing is outside God's rule, notice, cognizance. Everything is aware, and so you can change America. You can change Texas. You can change your city. You can change anything you want. You have the power. But it starts with you. You have to die first. There's life there. So, how many are going to go home and say, I am amazing? Because you are. You are amazing. Why? Because God loves you. He created you. And he just spoke a word. I mean, this is not dramatic and bells ringing. It's just, he spoke a word. That's the way it's going to be. And he'll never change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, forever, and ever. So this is how you can change the world. I love everybody. And if you say it often enough, it'll become habitual with you, and you realize, I really believe that. But the right really believe that is what happens when you have an experience of God. Because anytime you act on God, he will multiply what you just acted on. So those few fish and loaves fed all the people, and what was left over was more than what they started. That's multiplication. So God multiplies something, not just adds. He multiplies it so that that widow's oil never ran out until God accomplished what he needed to accomplish. So you have a mighty God. Use him. Abuse him. He loves it. He loves it when you say, God, you promised. He loves that. Now, are you using my word? Ezekiel 4:7. You know, you just do it. And God loves that. He loves that. You're taking my promises and using them. That's what I always wanted. That's what I always wanted. Colleen, that would be good for you. That would be good for you. It actually works. Jackie, that's good. That's too powerful. Take his own words and just throw them back at him. He's not interested in your behavior. He doesn't care what you're thinking and doing and so on. Just do it. Because God, you said. Moses said it that way. God, you said. Now, what would it be like if you slayed us in the wilderness here? You can't do that because you promised. You made a promise. Keep being faithful to your promise. So God is seated to him. He said, you want to see my glory? I'll show you all my power, all my goodness, all my greatness. I'll show it to you. How many know God will show you his greatness? Just if today you died, that would be great. That would be great. Powerful. Can always breathe like that. David. That's it. Totally.
I know that regardless of how it looks,
right,
that one day I'll see that the answer was never about getting in that pool. It was about Jesus coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to rise up and walk. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Rise up and walk.
Right. It's good. It's powerful. When you have a vision, my people perish for lack of vision. When you have a vision, you discipline yourself. You discipline yourself. So it's good to have problems. In the world, you have troubles, problems, difficulties, trials, temptations. That's good. God designed that. God wants that. Because then you have to turn to him. Because you can't do it. Try as you may, you cannot do it. You can't make God do what God wants to do. You can only wait upon God. Be patient, saith he. Be patient, because I'm not through yet. And I'm waiting for the sins of the Amorites to be fulfilled. In other words, he has another agenda that's bigger than yours, and he includes yours in it. And so he sees you. He hears every prayer you pray. Every prayer you pray, it'll be answered in this world. In this world, not in the next world. People say, well, maybe in the next world. Uh-uh, it's for now. Use his words to do it. So who today is going to go home and talk to God and say, Lord, I'm innocent of all guilt because of what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. You said that. You said that. And so I'm holding you to that. So I'm innocent today, and therefore I can ask anything and you will answer. Might be no. But it could be yes. But you need a bigger picture of God. God is so huge. This world is not done yet. He's saved the best to the last. it's about to happen. And why does he save the best to the last? Because he's giving everybody a chance to repent, which means comfort yourselves. Reflexive. The noun is the verb reflecting back on the person that is the subject. So reflexive means it comes back onto me. Don't tell Israel her warfare is over. Tell her to comfort herself that I say her warfare is over. Her sins have been forgiven. So when you do that yourself, you have the power then to make God's words come alive in your own mouth. And so you say that, not because the word is your word, it's because it's his word, which has all the power to create the world. He can raise anyone from the dead, and he will someday, and you'll be judged by equity, equal to the fact that God made you the way you are. Is everybody doing it? Nope. Should you be nervous about that? Nope. Just say, God, don't worry about all the other people. Just change me today. Just change me today. Just change me. Could probably take 10 minutes or maybe half an hour. just change me. Amen. How many are happy all the time? You are. You are. Happy all the time. Do you feel it? No. Do you understand it? No. Do you want it? No. Do it anyway. Just obey God. He'll multiply it. Barbara. Right. Right. Totally. Totally.
That's when he's coming.
Yeah.
It's for the bride that's ready.
Right.
To receive him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's all to him. To him be the glory. Anyway, who else? Going once, going twice. Done. All right. Are you a new creation? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Perfect tense. Perfect past. Never, the Bible never uses the perfect. That's a perfect because it was heaven talking. And the new has come. Perfect present. Perfect. Seldom in the Bible is perfect ever used unless it refers to God. So if he says, you are a new creation, the old has passed away, you're not Jewish anymore, you're not Gentile anymore, you are a new creation, kine katesis. You are a new creation. Katesis means creation, and kine means a new of a different quality of newness, not like you lost the ball, here's another ball. It's not like that. It's new of another kind that you've never seen and experienced before. That's your new creation. This is not subject to nature, not subject to your natural being. It's not your existence that you had. This is a new creation that I just created now. So in the Bible, nothing's new under the sun. Under the sun. But you're not under the sun. You're under grace. So you're not under the sun. Sorry. So the history is just moving along. But there's something new, and that's us. Jesus Christ created something new. That's powerful. All right. God is good. David Borchert, prayer. Amen. Love you all.
I